Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of the week. It's my favorite time of the week. We're going to talk about some college football. I'm Mark, and I'm in the podcasting studio here at the Crazy Sheet. And I got Scotty, and from looking at his pretty ass face, I can tell he's at home. Brother, how the hell are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing? I'm getting excited. Going to get to talk a little Maxion today, man. You know, my favorite midweek league.
Absolutely, man. I mean, you got to specify that now, because now there's multiple midweek leagues.
That's exactly right, man. I'm telling you, we should say the original midweek league, but it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a fun year. There are going to be some terrible teams in the MAC. I mean, there's going to be some bad football play. We may have some of those 64, 48 games and stuff like that. I mean, it may be crazy.
Absolutely.
You remember that Toledo game? Was it Toledo and Bowling Green?
Yeah.
That when it was like 64-62 or something crazy.
I think that's right. And it was just a track meet in the snow. And it was the MAC came about where Scott and I started this. Scott and I have been doing this podcast now, I think, 13 or 14 years. And both of us traveled extensively when we first started. And you couldn't get any MAC news unless you literally were in Detroit or Cleveland, and you could get your hands on the Detroit Free Press or the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And the one thing that we found, this is before the MAC actually went to weekday games, MAC lines didn't move a whole lot because they weren't getting a whole lot of action. And so we dug in, and I think I spent more time reading about Northern Illinois and teams like that. I mean, Garrett Wolf, Michael the Burner Turner. What was the quarterback's name? Jordan Lynch? Was that the kid's name that quarterbacked at Northern Illinois when they won the
Lynch was one of them. I mean, God, man, they've had a bunch. I mean, they've had a bunch of kids that were good over the years.
And I still will swear, I think they
turned some coaches through there, too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But, I mean, the MAC was pumping out some D1 guys. I mean, it was, that's where Dave Clawson came from. I mean, Urban Meyer started at Bowling Green. I mean, there were some big names back in the league back in those days.
Scott, I remember looking probably 12 years ago or so at MAC coaches, and the average MAC head coach salary then was $180,000 to be the coach of a Division I football program. Can you imagine that?
No. Mississippi State's lowest paid assistant makes more than that.
That's just crazy. And anyway, talking a little MAC, we're also going to mix in some Mountain West. MAC was ravaged by transfer portal, and I don't think this is going to be something that's going to go away. I think these lower tier conferences are constantly going to be fighting this battle. And I think the coaches are going to have to get creative, adjust how they're going to keep kids on their roster, what's going on. I'm sure there are some of these programs that have some NIL money. But I think what is the group of five, they're trying to get rid of that moniker. You're going to lose players every year to the Power Five teams. It's just with the tampering that can go on and the way the portal works, yep, and transferring, it's hard to beat it. And so I get it, but we still get football. We're going to get some midweek football. There's still some great players that come out of here. I mean, last year with Fresno State and Jake Haener, he's in the NFL now. And so you're still going to get a lot of those things going on. So I'm excited. A couple things, if you missed it, we talked about it. If I would have published the podcast right after we got done the other night and you listened to it right away, you might have heard that we are anticipating there could be some gambling issues with some Iowa athletes that might cost them some eligibility, and that news broke right after we got done with the show. And Deckers, the quarterback at Iowa State, will not participate in fall camp. I don't think he ever plays football again, based on kind of what I've been reading through thus far.
I mean, he was betting on their team while he was hurt. There ain't no damn chance he's coming back.
No.
I mean, there's no chance, because there's no chance he bet on them. You know he was betting against them. I mean, I hadn't even seen whether he did or not, but, I mean, he wasn't playing. You know he was betting against them, so there's no chance he comes back. And then, look, gambling on college football in general, if you're a college football athlete, would be pretty stupid. Gambling on your own team while you're hurt goes to just full-on moron dumbasses at some point. I mean, that's just clown car. I mean, if you're going to do it, let's do like the Iowa backup kicker and just bet on them to take the under, baby. Just bet like you know what you're doing. I mean, come on.
Man, until you have sweated an Iowa under in the 30s, you have not enjoyed a good afternoon of watching college football because it can happen. So this year, though, I'm kind of looking for some Iowa overs with the ultimatum and Ferentz, and they've actually got a good quarterback. And so I think things could change. On the national front, I think just about all programs have been reporting in this week. Practice is getting rolling. The teams that were week zero were in camp last week, so you can start to get some beat writer news on those types of things. I'm excited. You know, we're right at it at this point. And so we're going to try to wrap up these two conferences. We'll have a couple more, and then we can start digging into some different ways to hopefully find some value. Week zero, week one, game of the year lines. I don't have a book that has game of the year lines. Do you have a book that has game of the year lines?
I have not found one yet. So I am interested to – they're going to pop up soon. I mean, they're normally out in like May. So, I mean, I've got to really kind of dig in, but no, they are not on my book as of yet. So, and look, there is always value in those games. There will be some huge swings.
Oh yeah.
I mean, hell, think about how different that line was, preseason versus Michigan and Ohio State last year.
Yeah, big move.
And it was a big move. So, I mean, there's some stuff that moves tremendously. So you do have to pay attention to those. And especially some of these early month games when you think you're right on a team. And I do have a couple of teams that I do feel like are going to be pretty good come out of the box. We're going to talk about one of them today. That I think you're going to have a chance to win some money on early in the season before everybody catches up to them.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. With these conferences, I would tell you almost to do this. If you're getting into gambling for the first time, avoid some dumb things that you can do. First of all, you know, don't just listen to gambling news. You've got to really kind of dig into football news as well. Injury reports, things of that nature, especially when you're looking at conferences like the Mountain West and the MAC, because these teams are not deep whatsoever. They're too deep is not good, trust me. And so that would be one part of it. And, you know, avoid parlays and crap like that. But the other thing, too, is if you can find some game of the year lines that are out there, just print them off, save them as a PDF, and use those as a reference as the season's going on to see how much that number shifted. Because I doubt most of you are making your own power ranking numbers, but maybe you are. But I've always thought that was a good barometer, and that's the reason I like the game of the year lines. Like, first off, Texas is a 4-point favorite over Oklahoma for the game of the year. It'd be interesting to see where that one lands. If they're both undefeated, I could see that game going under a field goal before it starts. Texas was opened as a 7-point underdog to Alabama. Now you're starting to see that get painted around a 6.5 as everybody keeps thinking Alabama's down. Let me tell you something. Making money long-term in betting against Nick Saban in Alabama has not been a profitable equation. So if you want to blow that horn that Bama's done and Nick Saban's done, you go right ahead. I'll book every bet you got. Let me know. Send them my way, and I will take it. But, Scott, that's nor here nor there. Let's go to the Midwest where they play in the middle of the week and tell me what your first bet is that you have in the action.
The Ohio Bobcats. I think this is going to be a really good football team. And like you, since we're going to cover both these leagues, we'll go ahead and get this out of the box. I love them opening weekend at San Diego State, catching more than a field goal. I think it's 4, 4.5 right now. I think they're going to win that game straight up. I think they go out there and win that game straight up. They did not lose many people to the transfer portal. And how a team as good as Ohio not losing some of their best players to the portal is kind of surprising, because most of the teams in this league get ravaged, as you said. They did not lose any of the real key components. This was a good offensive football team for the most part last year. You look at them in MAC play, and they were scoring 30, 40 a game every week. This team won their last 7 of their last 8, only losing to Toledo in the MAC title game last year, not quite able to get it done in what was a really, really good football team. So I like this team. I think they're going to I definitely think they're going to go over the over-under win total as well. So I like them there, but that opening weekend bet, I think, has got a chance to really give you something. This team's going to win more than 8 games. I mean, I think this is a 10-win football team.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. So I've kind of have gone against something I normally do. I usually do not find myself in multiple situations on the same team, because that's a quick way that, you know, if it goes bad, it goes really bad for you. But, yeah, that was one of the concerns Coach Albans had, was that he was going to lose a lot of his roster. He didn't. He's kept it together. By the way, did you see the tweet with him driving his Trans Am that was his OG high school car, and he's fixed it up now?
Yeah, that's awesome. Old Smokey and the Bandit-ish, baby.
It's super badass. So, anyway, yeah, so with that team, here's where I've kind of bet Ohio is. I do like him in that opening game. I did get some at 4. I've been surprised to see that line's been moved. I mean, it's gone from 4 to 3.5 back to 4. So San Diego State's obviously getting some tickets, but I'm going to have to dig more into it to figure out who's driving them. But where I bet the MAC so far this season is I've got Toledo at plus 170, and then I've got Ohio at plus 360 to both win the conference. And then keep in mind, this is a conference that still has 2 divisions. And so I think with what you're getting here is you're getting 2 teams that are going to meet in there, and you're going to have positive EV when you get to that spot. And that was the reason I took them both. And then I actually took a little piece of Ohio to win their side of the division at plus 130. If you go look at the over-under win total for most of the teams in the MAC, what'd you tell me? 7 of them have over-under win totals that have losing records of six games.
That's correct. 5.5 or under, 7 teams. 2 more. 6.5.
Yeah.
On their over under.
So yeah, I think these are gonna be the 2 strongest teams in the MAC this season. And so to follow on your point, so there's what we've got. I've got Ohio bet twice and Toledo to win. And but staying in that week 1 slot that's there, you can get Toledo plus 10 against Illinois. And I think with Illinois, we're gonna see some regressions this season. You know, they put a couple of guys in the NFL last year. Their defense was off the chain. They didn't score a ton of points. It was based on physicality. This is a huge game for Toledo. Huge game for Toledo. And I think that, you know, coming out with this being game 1, and you can't tell me that Illinois is excited to play Toledo week 1, knowing that they've got a Big Ten schedule on deck. And so I like Toledo plus 10 opening week. So just kind of peeling the layers of the onion back a little bit. Those are 2 dogs right now with Colorado. I mean, with the – well, that was another one we'll get to in a minute. But 2 dogs that we like so far in the MAC week 1.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you, I think there's also going to be some play in this league. You're going to get some big numbers because there's some bad football teams. And we've actually done a pretty good job of picking MAC teams when they go on the road against these Power 5 teams. You know, Kentucky, we took the MAC team a couple of times. I think it's Eastern Kentucky once. They didn't cover. Those games were a little closer than the big line looked. One time it was 24, and I think they ended up winning by 20. Another time I think it was 20 or 19 or something. They won by 17. You know, that's what happens in some of the – I think it's going to be just the opposite this year because I think there are some bad teams in the MAC. And you've also had a lot of coaching turnover.
Yeah.
And so I think you are going to see some teams go on the road versus some of these Power 5 football teams and just get absolutely dump trucked when they're on the road. I mean, you get Kent State. I mean, like, they're going to UCF week 1. I don't know if you make that line big enough.
I don't think so either. Now, let's put this in perspective while we're saying this. Kent State's football coach is now the offensive coordinator with Prime in Colorado. He also took 1 or 2 of his assistants with him. They have
– and took a bunch of their players.
They have 2 returning starters in their – in their top 22 from last year, and they're both on defense. They have 0 returning starters on offense, and they're putting in, and they're installing a new system this year. And so Kent State, to me, that's where I was actually going to go with my next bet. Was I have not played their over-under win total because it's at 2.5, but I think Kent State is a team that you can obviously look to fade for a big chunk of the season. I mean, they look at it like this, Scott. I mean, good Lord of Friday. They open up at UCF, then they turn around and go to Archie the next weekend.
And Mark, talk about gamblers' mistakes. everybody's going to be remembering that this team went to Georgia last year and gave them all they wanted. This ain't remotely the same football team. No. You know, and our Kent State plays good on the road when they play his SEC teams because some moron at the bar isn't listening to, isn't studying or doing anything. He just remembers they played at Georgia last year. You know, they're going to go to Arkansas and get gas canned.
Oh, physicality is going to be stuck. And then the game that's really interesting, they come home with Central Connecticut, and then they got to go to Fresno. And this is a Fresno team that by this point will have three games under its belt with its new quarterback and, you know, with Hayner being gone. And you're going to kind of know what you've got at this point. And I think they'll get walloped out there because now you're not – you, this sounds crazy. This is a 9:30 kickoff, which means it's going to be so damn late for these kids coming from the Eastern time zone to the West Coast out there. I think it's going to be a really long season for Kent State.
Yeah, I agree with you. And same deal, like you look at Western Michigan, because that's a team that has been pretty good. You know, historically, this has been a 7-win team for the most part these last few years. And, of course, Row the Boat got them going on track. But they play at Syracuse, at Iowa, and at Toledo back to back to back. Then they're home to Ball State, and then they're at Mississippi State. These guys are going to get crushed some of those games. I mean, at the end of that stretch, I mean, look, that Toledo, they're going to be rolling into Toledo, just walking into a buzzsaw. These are the things that you just simply got to pay attention to. And that's where I think the value is in the MAC this year, is I think there is a wider separation between the top and the bottom than there generally is. Generally, this league's really close and teams can beat everybody. And I don't think that's the case this year. I think the better teams are a lot better. And I think some of the bad teams are really bad. And I think there's a lot of just average teams in the middle.
Yeah. Now, the one team I am interested in the MAC that is going to be a bet on team. I have not placed a wager on them. I don't think I've got it in the pocket yet. Is Akron. Roster's better. And I think from a coaching perspective, outside of maybe Ohio and Toledo, Moorhead's the best coach in the conference. And from a play-calling standpoint, he's a genius. And so I like this Akron football team. I still remember us all scratching our heads on why he was going there. But I think this is going to be an Akron team that you're going to find spots this season where they're going to be dogs, and you're going to be able to sneak in there and get you some value in these games.
Yeah, that certainly is a team to look at. You know, I thought Moorhead would get an immediate bump last year. So good luck to you. I will not be back on them this year, but I do think they will win more. And what is that over under 3.5? Isn't that what they are? I think they'll win 4 games.
3.5 with a lot of juice, 4 in some places. But don't be scared. You get a little Akron plus 10.5 week 1 against Temple. Get you something there,
brother. The team that I think is going to be interesting that I want to see where they go is Buffalo. Yeah. You know, this is Maurice Lindquist's third year. He took over a team that Lance Leipold had rolling. You know, they went to they won the conference that last year, didn't they?
I think so.
And so you look at that and he is, you know, 4-8, 7-6 last year with a good little bounce back. So I'm interested to see what they do, because I think this is a football team that could take a little bump forward. So Snyder, their quarterback's an interesting little player. So I'm excited to see what Buffalo does, having been a really good football team. And they've got if you're looking for something to gamble on of those teams in that middle, I think Buffalo's the team that might have a chance to jump forward, because they play at their only disadvantage is they do get what are probably the 4 best teams in the league: Toledo, Ohio, Miami, Ohio, and Eastern Michigan. Yeah. So, and who in the world would have thought I would have said Eastern Michigan is one of the best teams in the league just a few years ago? But that's where we are. So that's their only downside, which is why I don't like their over under win total. But I think this team could be a better team.
I like it. I like it. Scott, that's all I got for the Mac, man. I'll be digging in further as we get closer to week one lines and you can start getting some practice reports. Let's move out west to the Mountain West. First bet that I've got in the Mountain West is in the over-under win total under 4.5, I believe is the number I got. And that would be on Utah State. Ooh. This team, a couple of years ago, once they hired the new coach, what's the guy's name that came over from Arkansas State? Blake Anderson?
Blake Anderson.
You know, he had a bad situation at Arkansas State, losing his wife to cancer, kind of did a hard reboot, took this Utah State job, had Jordan Love, and they had a really good season. Love obviously was drafted, went on in to the NBA, and went on to the NFL, and this team last year had some high hopes, and they were not good. If you go look at their defensive statistics, they were bottom 20 in just about every defensive statistic, which is pretty normal for them, but they couldn't generate any offense last year. And so this year, I think they come back even further. They lost some players. Their roster's not great, but I have no faith in this team whatsoever. I took them at under – I'm trying to pull up the number right now, but I took them at under the total – at either 3.5 or 4.5 with a little bit of positive juice. And
under 5.5. Yeah. Under 5.5.
Under. You can't find – I mean, you're going to lay the juice, but you can't find 5.5 wins on this team. You've got – there's some improved teams in this conference, and so that was my first bet was Utah State under 5.5, and I think I got that at minus 165. Yeah, there it is. I just found it.
Yeah, if they're getting over, they got to beat James Madison at home.
They got to
win at Connecticut.
Those are two good teams.
I know it is, and that's what I'm saying. They got to win both of those games if they're getting over this number, because you got Idaho State, which I think is a winnable game. You got New Mexico, which is a winnable game. Because I think in this league, I think there's some teams that are going to be improved. I think Nevada is going to be better after just getting completely ravaged, very much like Kent State this year. Nevada was ravaged. You know, Norvell transfers in conference, takes everybody he wants with him, like for the most part. I also think Colorado State's going to be better.
I do too.
This year, I think they're one of the teams that have got a chance to be better. So this Utah State schedule is pretty tough. I'm not going to sell on them on a 6.5 win total because I think they are probably a 6 or 7 win football team. Man, I'm out on San Diego State. I think that program is going to take a step back, partly because I'm out on Brady Hoke. I'm not a huge Brady Hoke fan. But, you know, that's just me. So I'll be interested to see where those guys go. I've already told you I'm betting against them early. I think Boise is, when you look at the roster, there's so much more talent. Let's take running back. They already got an all-conference running back. Their backup kid from Frisco is Genty. He might be the second best running back in the league.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and so
Their quarterback can play too. They got the best quarterback in the league too this year.
Got the best quarterback in the league. So, yeah. I mean, you look around and you think, man, how in the world are those guys not going to win it this year? So, but I think Avalos got a lot to prove.
Yeah, I do too. Avalos doesn't do it this year. I think he's gone.
I think you may be right.
But I mean,
I think 100%.
And so I do have a Boise State ticket at plus 180 to win the conference. I like that better than going over their win total. Their over-under win total's at 8.5. I think their schedule's manageable, but I like the plus money with them getting a chance playing the conference. You know, it's one of those – because the other thing that's interesting about the Mountain West, unless it's changed, but this is one of the conferences that – whoever has the best record gets to host the championship game. And so I think you could get a situation here where Boise State's going to get to host the game. And I won't be surprised if it's not Air Force that sneaks in there. Air Force is at plus 400. They're like third to win the conference. And I like the Air Force roster. They're getting a new quarterback this season. But I don't ever really worry about the quarterback play at the academies. And Air Force is by far the best academy right now. And so I think I like this Air Force team a lot. I like their coaching staff. Calhoun's done a really good job. And so my two bets I've got in the Mountain West thus far are Boise State to win it. And then I got a little pizza money on Air Force at 400 to win it. And I'm kind of flirting with some Colorado State over and Utah State under.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the thing on Boise, There are some games in here that, man, if they win one, I mean, like, I don't think they're not going to go to, this is not Oregon when LeGarrette Blount punched the dude. They're not that kind of football team. They're not going to go to Washington and win that game.
No.
They're not. But that UCF game, week two, bringing them all the way up to Boise, I don't know, man. That may be, you know, that's going to be an interesting game. That is where we find out how good Boise is. Because at the end of the day, these rosters look real similar to me. So, I mean, I think that's going to be – I think that's a huge test to find out what they do. And then, like you said, Avalos, you know, gets a chance to prove some things the rest of the way. I could see this team winning 10 or 11 games, but they've also got some games I could see them stubbing their toe. Could they go to Memphis and lose September 30th? Yes. Will they? Probably not. You know, but they're at San Diego State, they're at Colorado State, they're at Fresno State. Play some tough teams on the road. So, I mean, they could drop a game or two there. And then, of course, you got Washington to start. So, I agree with you. Taking them to win the league is probably a better bet than the over-under.
That's where I went with that one. And then the other one I like is Colorado State. Over-under win total, I believe, is – I bet it at 4.5 is where I got that number. I like what he's got going up there. I think he's got some positive juju. One of the areas I really like is I like that opening week that they play Washington State. They host Washington State. I think they're getting 14. Yeah, still getting 14 in that one. So it's Colorado State plus 14. They're going to play the secondary for Washington State is not great. And I think they're going to toss the rock all over the yard against those guys. And the other thing, too, is Washington State having to go on the road to go to Colorado, they turn around the next week and they host Wisconsin at home, which is a rematch from last year when they beat Wisconsin. And I just have a hard time believing that Washington State is going to be just laser-focused on Colorado, and we might be able to get some backdoor coverage in there. And I think you also could see an over. I haven't seen a total on that yet, but I'm real leery on betting totals this season. Until we get my eyes on it to see the difference in how games are going to play out. Because now that they're not going to stop the clock on first downs, they're estimating there could be 7 to 12 plays shorter per game. And so teams like Washington State and Colorado State who fling it and want to play with a little bit of tempo, I'll be interested to see how those numbers flush out. But I do like Colorado State a little bit on the over, but I like a more plus 14 week one against Washington State. It's kind of where I'm at so far. And I like it against Colorado, too, to be honest with you.
Yep. I think Nevada's got a chance to bump up.
They have to.
And really take a step forward, just like we were talking about earlier. Man, I got no love for Hawaii, no love for New Mexico. San Jose State plays some games I think they could lose, although I think that team is going to be a pretty good football team. In the mix, fascinated to see what UNLV does. Stunned that number was at 6.5.
I love UNLV this year. I was so hoping that number was going to land on 5.5, 6, and I was going to be taking the over on UNLV. This is a team, they're going to win some games this year. And I like the coaching staff. I like what they did there. This is a better team. And you know what the other good thing about this is the Rebel Roller, brother. Anytime they score, when they break out that giant slot machine, it's fantastic. So, yeah, I like UNLV this year.
Yeah, the coaching staff obviously is a new group, but Barry Odom was the old coach at Missouri, defense coordinator at Arkansas. So that's going to be fun to see kind of how this deal shakes out. They do have some talent. They've got a lot of guys back. It seems like UNLV is a program that should be better than it is, and so I'll be interested to see if Odom can get it done.
Can you imagine if UNLV got to where they were like a consistent 9-10 win team? How awesome that would be.
Can you imagine with Vegas and everything that's going on, how awesome that'd be? I mean, that just I'm telling you, man, it just feels like they ought to be bigger. They ought to be like a West Coast swagger wagon.
I mean, I would totally be on board with that. So, yeah, when you're looking at the Mountain West, looking at the MAC, I guess, you know, you're going to have to dig into these rosters. There's been a lot of turnover, especially in the MAC. And I do think there's some value in there. But at the same time, there's a big discrepancy. I think there's a wider discrepancy now of good group of five teams to power five teams. Like Boise State plus 14.5 opening up at Washington. I think Washington is going to kill these guys.
Trust those guys.
I don't think they have anything that they can put up against them. And so, but I think when you take them down a level and they get the Memphises and the UCFs and then the rest of their conference, I think they're going to be above average and can compete. But I think there's just a bigger and bigger separation between those two. You know, the, with the transfer portal, it's going to be really difficult to build a roster. Excuse me, build a roster over a 3 to 5 year period for these guys because they're going to get ravaged. If you're any good at the group of five level, you're going to be on a power five roster the next year unless you just don't want to.
There's no doubt about it. And that's what people don't understand is, I, look, man, I'm all for kids. I am not against a kid transferring. If a coach leaves, you know, bare illness. But I think it needs to be a legitimate reason until they graduate. Once you're a graduate, man, take off. You've served your time. You're done. Do you want to transfer? You want to go be a free agent? Take off. You know, I got no problem with that. And I got no problem if a coach leaves. The kid ought to be able to leave too. Because the bottom line is they're signing with the coach, not the school. I hate the transfer portal. And when you combine it with NIL, these mid-level programs have no chance. I mean, they can just be ravaged. And, you know, what's got UAB just talking about, oh, I'm going to call them out. How you gonna call him out?
Trent Dilda.
You know who's doing the tampering? It's the 7-on-7 coach. And guess what? When you call him out, you're gonna do. You're never gonna get another player for it. Ever. He's gonna send them to Troy. He's gonna send them to wherever, South Alabama, where you'll never get another player from that guy if you call out the school he hooked your boy up with. Okay, great. Let's see how that works out for you. Sounds great in principle. But that ain't going to happen because the schools aren't tampering. It's their preacher, their 7-on-7 guy, their grandmother's brother. It's whoever. You know, it is always some guy that you can't tie directly to the kid, and he gets 10% of the money, and he heads on down the road, and the kid's gone. You know, anybody that thinks Rah-Rah Thomas was texting back and forth with Kirby Smart is crazy. You're too dumb for me to have a conversation with about tampering. Was he talking to some 7-on-7 coach or some preacher or whatever? Yeah, 100% that's who's handling the deal. Does Georgia care? No. They need a better player. Let's go get him. They don't care. And that's the deal, and it does make these jobs really, really, really hard, and you're 100% right. Building a program is going to be extremely difficult.
Yeah. No, I agree. Folks, that's all I got, man. I'm wrapping up the week here. We've got these next week. Scotty, what conferences you want to knock out next week?
Man, I'm good with whatever. I'm kind of up to speed on most of everybody now. So I guess we need to do the Fun Belt.
Yeah. Well, we got the Fun Belt, CUSA, and the American. How about we do the Fun Belt standalone, and then we'll put CUSA and the American together? Because I honestly am going to have to go look and see who's in both of those conferences a little bit before I can do anything.
Well, that's because they're basically kissing cousins at this point. Let's do the Fun Belt and the Independents next week. Because I got to tell you, I do have a little love for Notre Dame. I think they're flying under the radar a little bit.
I'm kind of in your same boat. I'm digging on what I've been reading on some of the stuff that's up there, and their schedule's interesting too. I know everybody likes to hate on Notre Dame, but man, I'm really interested in this team this year.
Me too, and I think Freeman's doing a good job. He was a first-year coach last year. Let's not forget all of that. Not a first-year coach this year. I think he's a smart, sharp guy, and I think they're going to be. I think they're going to be fascinating to watch. And he is upgrading the recruiting.
Yeah.
There is no doubt about it.
And we'll talk about this when we get to the quarterback play. But, I mean, you're coming from that Wake Forest slow mesh, messy pocket to a double tight end set at Notre Dame. And this is going to be one of the best offensive lines in the country. I'm
and got a couple of guys who can catch on the outside.
Yeah,
I mean, that's, let's not forget they got a couple of skill guys who can play. I think he may pick people apart, but we'll get into that when we talk about Notre Dame.
I mean, how much Notre Dame love can you imagine if you get into I mean, they've got Ohio State comes there, they've got Southern Cal comes there, they've got to go to Clemson. Other than that, their schedule is very manageable,
really,
and they're getting
workable.
Both those games at home. So,
I'm upset one of those guys, get to 10 or 11 wins, oh, man, the hype will be rolling.
Oh, it's going to be on like Donkey Kong. I don't think I've said that in 10 years, but I came trying. But anyway, folks, it's been fun. Share us with your friends. Give us some reviews. Give us some ratings. Put some notes in the comments. We always love the feedback. It's a gift. We look forward to getting with you next week. Until then, enjoy the show. Get ready for some college football. Talk to you soon.